This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. We'll hear first this time from the Academy Award Theater, their episode from October 30th, 1946, titled Suspicion. Then it's Believe It or Not with Great Talent. We'll finish off with the FBI in Peace and War, an episode titled The Smoke Ring. This one aired October 20th, 1954.
The House of Squibb presents Academy Award. Tonight, Cary Grant and Ann Todd in Suspicion. Every week, Squibb brings you Hollywood's finest. The great picture plays, the great actors and actresses, techniques and skills chosen from the honor roll of those who have won or been nominated for the famous Golden Oscar of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. For generations, the House of Squibb has been known for the high quality and unfailing dependability of its products, each the result of a never-ending quest for perfection. Today, the great family of Squibb products reflects the tremendous advance of science in its contribution to human health and well-being. The name Squibb stands for progress through research. Squibb is a name you can trust. Tonight, Squibb brings you the thrilling mystery Suspicion, the picture which was nominated in 1941 for 3 Academy Awards. As our star tonight, you will hear Cary Grant, who, as Best Actor of the Year, has twice been nominated for the Academy Award, recreating his original screen role. Appearing with him is the lovely British stage and screen star, Ann Todd. And now, Academy Award.
Made me know the meaning of the word ecstasy when I married Johnny. Oh, I'd heard things about him, that he was careless, which I knew meant carefree, that he was unreliable, which I knew meant he was different from any other man in the world. But naturally, I didn't hear what the looks implied. Well, I wouldn't have cared, even if I'd seen them. The smug looks, the I told you so's, and even the pitying looks from the few who seemed to care.
Well, Mrs. Aysgarth, are you getting used to being a wife?
Oh, darling, it's wonderful.
Yes, well, let's see. It all started at the Hunt Ball, then we got married, then it's kind of a blur.
A blur of Venice, Naples, Capri, Monte Carlo, Nice, Paris, and now this wonderful, heavenly, adorable house. Oh, Johnny, you sure we can afford all this?
Lena, one doesn't talk of money in paradise.
Telegram, sir.
Oh, my, speaking of paradise, let's see who wants to spoil it.
Is it bad news, darling?
No, just from an old friend of mine, stupid fellow. He wants £1,000. You couldn't spare £1,000, could you, dear?
£1,000? What do you want it for?
Hang if I know. Probably because I borrowed it from him.
You borrowed it? Why?
Well, because I was going on a honeymoon with the loveliest girl in the world, and I wanted her to be happy. Was she happy?
But didn't you have any money of your own?
Not a shilling.
Johnny, are you broke?
Oh, monkey face. I've been broke all my life.
I know you didn't marry me for my money. You could have done much better elsewhere. My income will never pay for all this. Never.
Well, what about your father?
Oh, I couldn't ask father or mother. But you wouldn't actually want to live on your wife's allowance, would you?
No, darling. Naturally not.
Well, then.
Well, I suppose if the worst comes to the worst, that is, if there's no other way out, well, I'll probably have to...
What?
Borrow some more.
Johnny, there's going to be no more borrowing or gambling.
What else is there to do?
You've got to go to work.
Work?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mean put on old clothes, go out with a shovel?
Don't be flippant, darling. There are all sorts of jobs.
Oh, all right, darling. I'm broad-minded. Let's have some tea. Hey, we can make out a list of jobs. You know, I think that'll be fun.
meant so much to me that Johnny took a position. I think you will understand. It seemed to help me push the sneers and the knowing smiles back into the dark. I don't know exactly what Johnny does, but he has a job in the office of a Captain Milbig, a sort of distant cousin of his. I was at home waiting for Johnny when a stranger called.
I say, you must be old Johnny's wife.
Yes, I am.
Didn't he tell you about me? I'm Beaky.
Beaky? Oh, you're Beaky.
Yeah, that's what they called me in school.
Beaky Thwaite. Oh, I've heard so much about you.
And Johnny told me about you, too. Ran into him at the Newbury races last week.
The races?
Oh, put my foot in it as usual, eh? Didn't he tell you?
Johnny has a job. He couldn't have been at the races. Besides, he stopped betting.
Oh, he has he? Oh, not Johnny. Great lad, eh, what? Well, you mustn't mind him cutting up. That's what makes him Johnny. Besides, he thinks you're a topper. Oh, yes, he does. I think so, too. Hey, what?
Won't you sit down, Mr. Thwaite?
I don't see why not. Is anything wrong?
Well, there were two Queen Anne chairs here this morning before I went out.
They've disappeared, have they?
Apparently.
Were they expensive?
Yes, very. Museum pieces. What's the matter?
Oh, that Johnny, he'll be the death of me yet. Don't you understand?
No, I don't.
I'll give you 20-1, Johnny sold them.
Sold them? What for?
What for? For money, of course. Chap's got to pay his racing bets, hasn't he? And Johnny lost a packet at Newbury.
I don't believe you.
Oh, put my foot in it again, have I? My dear girl, what's your name?
Lena.
My dear Lena, you simply haven't got acquainted with old Johnny. Why, at school there wasn't one chap who's spending money Johnny purloined who didn't forgive him in the end. Why, you'll forgive him anything when you know him better.
Well, Beaky.
Well, well, Obie.
How's my darling monkey face?
Hello, Johnny.
Ask him about the chairs, Oka.
Hey, what are you whispering about, Beaky?
I just want her to ask you about the chairs that disappeared.
Oh, yeah, well, you would. So you two discovered my iniquity, eh? Well, some American chap stopped by. Admired them so much, I just had to let him have them.
Johnny, you're such a wonderful liar.
Yes, well, look, you two. Forget the Inquisition. Now, sit down, both of you. Anywhere.
Lena, wait till you hear it.
Now, shut up, Beaky. Lena, you remember that necklace you admired in the shop window a month ago? Here, it's yours.
Oh, Johnny,
My friends, the Grand National was won today. I happened to have backed the winner. A 10-1 shot, ladies and gentlemen, 10-1, and I had £200 on him.
By Jove, 10-1. Why, that's £2,000.
Oh, that's amazing, Beaky. Hey, monkey face, you're not smiling. Come on, smile.
Where did you get the £200?
Oh, now really, I say, what a question.
Darling, where did you get it?
Oh, well, you know very well there was no America, and I got it for the chairs, of course.
You sold the chairs to gamble all your money on a horse?
Not exactly. You see, I owed some money to the bookies.
Johnny's such a lad.
Now, darling, be practical. Come on, give us a smile.
Yes, come along, old girl. Johnny, you tickle her chin while I make faces.
Think that'll work?
Yes. Now, more tickle.
Okay. Any results yet, Beaky?
Not yet, old bean. Wait, I'll make a sound like an owl.
Yeah, let's try
that. Always gets them.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait, I forgot something. Here you are. A receipt from a certain shop. Payment in full for a certain pair of Queen Anne chairs. They'll be delivered within the hour.
Oh, look at that, Johnny. She's smiling.
Oh, Johnny.
Here's to the famous Johnny Asgard. Beakers up, brandy to the bottom.
Oh, Johnny, he's choking. Do something.
It's no use, darling. I've seen this happen before. It'll either kill him or go away by itself. I think one of these days it will kill him.
Johnny, Beaky, an old friend of yours. How can you take that attitude? And you sat there and let him drink all the brandy he wanted. Oh, what is the matter with me? Johnny, I do trust you. I do believe in you. But... I met one of the sneering faces today. She made it quite clear that you hadn't given up gambling. She told me she saw you each afternoon at the races. Johnny, perhaps I shouldn't, but I must find out. I must.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Asgard.
Oh, Captain Milbig, I came to see my husband, but since he isn't here... Well, after all, you are his cousin as well as his employer, and I... Well, I'm just terribly worried.
Yes, I understand that. But on the other hand, I told him I wouldn't prosecute, of course.
I don't understand. What on earth are you talking about?
How did he get away with it? What reason did he give you when I discharged him?
When did you discharge him?
6 weeks ago. We had an unexpected audit, and the account showed a deficit of £2,000. And when I looked into Johnny's records...
Here, look at the photograph of the cliffs, Beaky. We could put the hotel up here.
Perfect.
Then the little houses could go down on the beach there.
Hello, you two. What's going on?
Oh, hello, Monkey Face. Sit down, darling. Beaky and I are organizing a real estate company. We're going to buy up this beautiful piece of land right by the sea.
Well, have you found somebody to put up the money?
Oh, yes.
Who?
Me, Olga.
I see.
Well, the idea is mine. The capital is Beaky's. You see, Beaky borrows against some securities in Paris, and then we issue stock. The whole company, of course, would be in my name. It's very simple.
Does Beaky understand it?
Oh, yes, I think so.
Captain Nelbeck's on the phone, sir.
Oh. I'll take it in the study. Excuse me for a moment.
Beaky.
Yes, my dear?
You're being unfair to Johnny.
What? Oh, I say, now that's a hot one. Why, he's president of the whole new thing. He gets a salary. He can write checks.
That's just what I mean.
Well, what's wrong about that? Oh, there you are, old boy. You know, Lena's been telling me that you're a bit soft in the head. Not a good risk and all that rot.
I heard through the door. How about cleaning up, old boy? Nearly time for dinner. You know your room. Better hurry in.
Oh, all right. I won't be there.
Well?
Lena, have you any regrets that you married me?
No. Why do you ask that?
And show me the courtesy of not interfering in my affairs.
Johnny, I'm not interfering in your affairs.
You are. And I'm warning you, stop it. You hear? You hear?
Oh, Johnny, please. Please.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. But it's pretty obvious it's no garland of roses to be Mrs. Johnny's garland.
Johnny, do you have any regrets?
Monkey Face, marrying you is the one thing I've never changed my mind about. I want nothing but to spend the rest of my life with you. And if you die first...
Yes? If I die first?
What about you?
I couldn't fall out of love with you if I tried.
Have you tried?
Yes. Today, when I found out about Captain Nelbeck.
Oh, there. Well, listen to me. If I had the money, I could go ahead with this development. It's really a wonderful spot.
And you think Beaky has the money?
Of course. Ah. Well, I guess that's over.
Over? Why? What's happened?
Nothing's happened. I'm calling the deal off.
Does Beaky know about this?
Not yet.
Here I am, darlings, and ravenous. When do we dine, eh? Personally, old bean, I can't see anything wrong with the scheme. But if you say it's no use going ahead with it, well, then let's go ahead.
Well, Beaky, I'm not going to take the responsibility of calling the whole thing off without proving to you the scheme's no good. Now, you will have to go up there to the cliffs tomorrow and take a look.
Well, old bean, if you say it's no good, that satisfies me.
It should satisfy him. Why does Johnny insist?
However, I would have liked...
What's in his mind? He's desperate for money. If he would sell the chair, embezzle from Captain Nelbeck, would he stop it? No, that's preposterous to think. Yet he said, if I were to die...
I say, Johnny, I really don't want to go up there in the morning. It'll be nasty and cold.
Nasty, cold, foggy. Cliffs are high and treacherous. Beaky is no match for Johnny.
Earlier the better. There won't be so much traffic on the road.
Near the cliffs, he'll be alone. Nobody to watch.
I don't like
Beaky will get out of the car, then Johnny.
So we'll...
They'll walk near the edge of the cliff. Beaky will peer over. Too near. And suddenly he will... Go over.
I say, getting up for me is murder, old chap. Murder.
No.
I say, I do believe she's fainted, old bean. Now, whatever do you suppose could be wrong?
Whenever in real life you happen to find yourself in a situation totally strange, you can always count on a bright, winning smile to help you make the friends you need. And a smile that's hard to resist is easy to cultivate when you brush your teeth with Squibb Dental Cream, the refreshing dental cream. It's such a pleasure to use. Your whole mouth awakens to a frosty tang of mint, exhilarating as a fresh October wind from the sea. You'll enjoy the brisk, mouth-refreshing action of Squibb Dental Cream, and watch that smile. See how much of its natural sparkle is revealed when you use Squibb Dental Cream regularly. That's because the polishing agent in Squibb Dental Cream is one of the most effective known to dental science. Safe, soft, and fine. So if you want your smile to do more for you, do more for your smile. Start tomorrow to brush your teeth with Squibb Dental Cream, one of the great family of Squibb products. Taste, feel, and see the refreshing difference. Before continuing with part two of Academy Award, we wish to thank RKO Pictures for making this story available. RKO are also the producers of Sister Kenny, starring Rosalind Russell and Alexander Knox. And now the House of Squibb presents part two of Academy Award, starring Cary Grant and Ann Todd in Suspicion.
A silly phrase from childhood keeps going through my head. Gruesome shapes and things horrid. Why can't I get Johnny out of my mind? Not the laughing, easygoing Johnny I know, but a sinister Johnny. I got up early, took my car. I drove out to the cliff and found the tire marks of Johnny's car. They led right up to the edge of the cliff. My heart stood still. Where the tire marks ended, the cliff had caved in and was gone. I don't remember how I got home. Johnny, where's Beaky?
Well, hello, my girl. I'm here.
Oh, thank God. Johnny!
Why, Monkey Face, you're breaking my bones with that hug. After all, I've only been gone a few hours.
Seems like a thousand.
Seems that way to me, too.
Oh, shut up. It was nothing, Beaky.
Well, I nearly lost my life. Do you call that nothing?
You nearly lost your life?
Yes, I was turning the car near the edge of the cliff.
Was Johnny in the car?
No, he was admiring the view. Well, I was backing up. Backing right up to the edge. If Johnny hadn't seen it and taken a leap and grabbed the brake, well, by Jove, I shouldn't be here.
Johnny saved your life?
He certainly did. Came jolly close to losing his own, too.
Oh, Johnny, how can I ever tell you what this means to me?
To you?
It meant something to me, too, by Harry. Ought to give a chap a reward, eh, what?
Oh, now it's getting interesting.
Why can't he come to Paris with me? I think old Johnny needs a holiday.
Paris?
Yes, my securities are there. I think I'd better fly over to dissolve the corporation. I'll treat Johnny to the trip.
Well, the cad seems to forget I'm a married man, darling. Then I might toss a few things into a bag and drive as far as London with him. What about that, Monkey Face?
Oh, ripping. Oh, do let him, Monkey, Lena.
Well, I don't see how I can stop him.
Good, great. Let's pack, old bean.
Mrs. Aysgoff?
Yes?
I'm Hodgson, Inspector of the County Police. I understand your husband is not in, madam.
No, he's up in London for a few days.
I believe you know a Mr. Thwaite.
Why, of course, he's a very good friend of my husband.
Well, Mrs. Aysgoff, Mr. Thwaite is dead.
Dead?
Died in Paris.
This is such a shock. You see, we knew him.
I'm sorry to have to break it to you, Mrs. Aysgoff. It seems Mr. Thwaite was in the company of another gentleman by the name of Albeam or Holbeam. There was some sort of a drinking bet between them. This other gentleman ordered a large beaker of brandy for Mr. Thwaite and then left. Would you or your husband happen to know any friend of Mr. Thwaite's who would answer to a name such as Albeam or Holbeam?
I'm afraid not.
The papers were found on Mr. Thwaite, which would indicate that he and your husband had formed a corporation.
My husband had planned a real estate development for Mr. Thwaite. Mr. Thwaite had gone to Paris to dissolve it.
I see. Well, thank you, Mrs. Aysgoff. Sorry I had to bother you. When your husband returns, by the way, do you expect him?
This evening, Inspector.
Would you ask him to ring me at the station?
Yes.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Hello? Hogarth Club, London. Oh, may I speak to Mr. Aysgoff, please? Yes. Oh, when do you expect him? He left yesterday. Thank you. Oh, it's you.
Yes. So you've heard about Beaky?
Yes. Dead, Johnny, the inspector wants you to phone him.
Captain Melbick phoned him, sir.
Oh, yes? Now tell him I got his note. Tell him I'll take care of the matter within 2 weeks, as he requests.
Yes, sir.
The matter?
The debt, Monkey Face. He wants his money.
And you can get it in 2 weeks?
I'm trying. Now, suppose we call it a day.
But, Johnny, you have to call the inspector.
Let's call it a day, darling. I'm tired. Dead tired.
All night I lay awake, my mind whirling with suspicions. And suddenly I remembered Isabel, who was a writer of murder fiction. I remembered Johnny asking her questions a few evenings ago. Unusual questions. Had he followed up those questions? Why did Johnny want to know so much about murder and the ways of committing murder?
Well, since you flattered me by telling me you've already read my latest story, ask me your questions.
Isabel, why did Johnny come to see you?
Well, my dear, Johnny is interested in the way in which we poor writers evolve our little plot. Well, naturally, we talked of so many things.
I see. Did he ask you any particular questions? Questions like, well, unusual ways in which a character might commit a crime?
Well, yes, we did talk of that. You know Johnny, you can't resist him. He makes you want to tell all your trade secrets.
I see.
Oh, I remember now. Johnny was simply fascinated by one of my pet theories, an untraceable poison.
Oh, was he?
Has Johnny been having nightmares? Talking in his sleep, my dear?
Yes, yes, Isabel. That's it. Nightmares.
Oh, Mrs. Aysgarth. This letter just came for Mr. Aysgarth. I was going to bring it up.
Oh, thank you. I'll take it to myself.
Yes, ma'am.
Durrential Insurance Company, Manchester. Replying to your inquiry regarding a loan of £2,000 against policy 167895. Regret loan cannot be made. Under terms of policy, payment can only be made in the event of the death of your wife. Event of the death of your wife. Johnny?
Yes, Monkey Face?
I saw Isabel today. I didn't know you were so interested in murder mysteries.
Yes. I borrowed one of her books. Terrible bore, too. There was a lot of muck about using an untraceable poison.
What does that mean, untraceable?
Well, you can't find it on the corpse, so you look high and low.
Yes?
Are you interested in murder, too, dear?
Yes, I'm getting to be.
I had quite an interesting chat with Isabel that day. She thinks I couldn't commit a murder if I tried 100 years. Something in my face. What do you think, darling?
I don't know, Johnny. Johnny, have you finished breakfast?
Yes. Oh, are you speaking to me this morning?
I'm sorry, Johnny. I don't know what got into me last night. I must be developing nerves.
Oh, I don't mind being asked to sleep in my dressing room, even if my wife locks the door between. Some husbands might, but not me.
Oh, really, Johnny? I'm just run down. I think I'd better go down to Mother's for a few days.
She asked you?
Why, yes, I... Yes, she called this morning.
Must have been very early. I didn't hear it. Very well. I'll drive you.
Oh, you needn't drive me. I can take the...
I prefer to drive you. That door on your side keeps springing open. I must get it fixed someday.
Please, do you have to drive so fast?
Great morning for a bit of speed.
Look out!
Shortcut here. Almost missed the turn. Watch that door! Lena, come back here, you crazy fool. Where are you going? Lena.
Oh, Johnny.
Lena, what's got into you?
Let me go, Johnny. Let me go, please.
Oh, stop it, you little fool. Stop it. Now, listen to me.
How much do you think a man can bear? You turn me out of your room, you go running away to your mother's, and now you cringe as though you hate me. You're my wife, Lena.
I thought...
You almost killed us both back there in the car because you had to pull away when I reached out to save you. Well, you won't have to put up with me anymore.
Johnny. Where are you going, Johnny?
First, I'm driving you on to your mother's.
And then what?
You needn't worry. I'll never bother you again.
You mean you're going to? Is that why you were looking up that poison in Isabel's book? You were going to kill yourself. Oh, Johnny, my darling, no.
Oh, don't worry. I saw that was a cheap way out. I'm going back to see it through, Lena. Prison term and everything.
Prison? You mean Milbeck? That money you took?
Yes. I can't pay it back. I made a last try to raise the money when I went away with Binky.
To Paris?
No. I went up to Liverpool to borrow on your insurance.
You mean you were in Liverpool when Binky... You didn't go to Paris?
I wish I had. I'd never have let some idiot give poor old Binky that brandy.
Oh, Johnny. I've been such a fool. If only I'd realized. If I'd been as close to you as I should have, you might have confided in me more. But things are going to be different now, Johnny.
People don't change overnight. I'm no good, Lena.
Oh, darling, let's turn back. Go home and see it all through together.
Mm-mm. It won't work. I'm taking you on to your mother's.
It will work. I know it. Let me go back with you.
You don't belong in this.
But I do. I won't let you shut me out. Please, Johnny. Turn the car around and go home. Please.
No, Lena, no. We're saying goodbye.
I know, Johnny, but it's going to take so many, many years to say goodbye.
Every time you see and hear your favorite picture star, enjoy that something extra that only the best can bring. For generations, people have felt that way about the House of Squibb. They expect more from any Squibb product, and they get more. There's a plus in Squibb Dental Cream, for example, that millions are enjoying every day. For it's more than a completely safe and effective aid in cleaning your teeth. Squibb Dental Cream is refreshment in a tube, a frosty, minty flavor sensation. Whenever you want to feel your best and look your best, wake up your mouth with Squibb Dental Cream. Use it before every engagement for a breath of freshness in your smile. Get Squibb Dental Cream tomorrow. Taste, feel, and see the refreshing difference. Next Wednesday, another great picture. The House of Squibb will present Academy Award starring Olivia de Havilland in Cheers for Miss Bishop. Today's performance of Suspicion was written for radio by Frank Wilson with an original musical score composed and conducted by Lee Stevens. Our producer-director is Dee Engelbach. Cary Grant may currently be seen in RKO's Alfred Hitchcock production, Notorious. And Todd appeared through the courtesy of David O. Selznick and may soon be seen in the Selznick production, The Paradigm Case. Nigel Bruce was unable to appear tonight because of illness. The part of Vicky on tonight's performance was played by Carl Harbert. This is Hugh Brundage bidding you goodnight until next Wednesday at the same time when you're invited to listen again to Academy Award, presented by the House of Squibb, a name you can trust. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not. A playing card decorated with an original miniature painted by the artist Hans Holbein was sold at a London auction for more than $13,000. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about a fabulous talent. Sir Walter Perrett, the organ virtuoso, made his debut at the age of 7 and was the organist of St. George's Chapel in Windsor, England for 42 years. He was a musician of tremendous concentration. In 1862, for example, when he was just 21 years old, he gave a concert of the Masters blindfolded, and at the same time played two games of chess behind his back, and won both games, believe it or not.
The FBI in peace and war. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Smoke Ring.
United States Attorney's Office, Miss Davis speaking.
Hello, I'd like to speak with Mr. Taylor, please. This is Agent Stevens over at the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Oh, Mr. Stevens, just a minute, please. Mr. Taylor.
Yes?
Agent Stevens on the line. Will you talk with him?
Stevens? Of course I will.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Hello, Steve. What can I do for you?
Not a thing for the moment. This call's on us.
Okay, I'm listening.
We just picked up a stolen car in Ohio, Bruce. It was being driven by a character we've been after named Miguel Trelia. In the back of the car, we found some 400 unstamped boxes of cigars.
Cigars?
Unstamped. I thought your revenue boys might be interested.
Might is putting it mildly.
Okay, we're holding Trelia over here.
Good, we'll be over in 10 minutes.
During the early part of this year, a ring dealing in tobacco was defrauding the government of a sum in taxes which was subsequently determined to be over $1 million. This was accomplished through deliberate failure of the manufacturer to put revenue stamps on his cigar boxes while selling them to under-the-counter buyers. Our attention was brought to the evasion when a fugitive wanted by the Bureau was apprehended with a number of the unstamped boxes in his possession. The questioning of this man brought out an unexpected tangent development which plunged us directly into the case.
Hello?
Carlos, this is me. I'm calling from you nowhere.
Well, go ahead.
Pick me up in the car right away. You and me are driving east.
Anything wrong?
Enough. The feds picked up Miguel with a carload of smokes. We're checking out of the area, setting up new outlets. Carlos?
Yeah?
There it is over there.
Where?
Store next to the corner. La Perfecta.
Oh, yeah. You're sure you won't come with me, Benny?
No, I'll wait in the car.
Okay, if you think I can swing it alone...
You can swing it. Just say what I told you.
Okay.
Don't be too long.
I won't.
Only say what I told you. The rest will be gravy.
Okay.
Oh, yes, sir. Can I help you?
Maybe. I'm looking for the proprietor.
Oh, that's me.
Huh?
Mr. Ben Udell, at your service.
Oh. Well, they told me a lady.
I know. You mean my mother. Everybody does. She's in the back. I'll call her.
No, no, that's okay. I'll find her.
Go right through that door there.
Thank you.
And the same candy order as last time. That's right. No, I guess that's all this week, Mr. Wallen. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Your boy out front said you're the one who runs this place, Mrs. Udell, right?
That's right.
My name is Carlos, Mrs. Udell. Ramon Carlos. Uh-huh. I couldn't help overhearing you place that order. I would like to talk to you about that.
Well, if you're a salesman, I'm sorry. I do all my buying through Mr. Wolin.
But I can give you a better deal, Mrs. Udell. I got the finest merchandise to offer for the cheapest price.
I'm sorry, Mr. Carlos. I'd like to help you out.
But you couldn't do it for me, huh?
I'm sorry.
Not even for Benny?
Benny?
Not your boy, Mrs. Udell. This Benny, I mean, is a lot older.
I don't know any other Benny.
That's so?
That's so.
Well, it has been a long time. You could have forgot. Benny said if your memory was bad,
look,
all I had to do
Carlos,
was...
Look, Mr. Carlos, I'm very disappointed.
All I had to do was to remind you that this Benny you don't know is the same one you got hitched to back in Detroit, October 1934. Your memory any better now, Mrs. Udell?
What do you want?
Well, like I said, I got fine merchandise. I just want you to place your orders through me from now on instead of any competitors.
What kind of merchandise?
Smokes. Smokes, Mrs. Udell. Cigars. Any kind you can name.
Why come to me?
Well, I tell you, Mrs. Udell, these are real fine smokes, like I say. One thing only... Well, somebody just forgot to put those revenue stamps on the boxes.
You'd better leave, Mr. Carlos, right now.
Yeah?
Because if you don't, I'm going to pick up this phone and call the police.
Mrs. Udell, Benny said there's something else I might have to remind you about. You and him are still married.
Are you leaving or aren't you?
Not only that, you got a son, Benny's own boy. He even wears the same name.
Get out, you hear me?
Can't imagine how lonesome a father gets for his son, Mrs. Udell. His own son that he hasn't seen this last 18 years.
What?
Benny said if you turn us down, why, he just naturally want a nice little reunion with Ben Jr. Father and son, after all this time. Hey, you better put down that phone, Mrs. Udell. I don't think you'll be calling any police after all. Do you?
Memorandum from the United States Attorney to all field offices, FBI, and Revenue Bureau. Be on the lookout for unstamped tobacco shipments being distributed in this country. Recent arrests of Ring members suggest new areas may be open somewhere along the eastern seaboard. All agents are warned to be especially alert in inspecting details.
Good night, Ma. You set to take over?
I'll set, Ben, since I get these out of the way.
Oh, here, let me help. What's one of these boxes not for sale?
No, well, it's just that they were taking up aisle space. I wanted them out of the way, that's all.
Okay, they're out of the way. You check the register yet?
I will when you're gone. Here, let me look at you.
Yes, ma'am. Wash behind my ears and everything.
You look real nice, Ben. New suit.
Well, you said I could buy one.
I don't mean that. You never wear a new suit unless a girl's going to see it.
Okay, maybe one is. Ma.
Yeah?
When you check the register, if you should find a couple of 10 spots missing.
Ben, you just got your pay Saturday.
Yeah, well, sure, but you know how it is. If a guy doesn't want to look small potatoes.
Yes, I know, and if he wants to hang around nightclubs.
Oh, no, Ma.
Ben, listen to me. Now, I don't like to butt into your affairs, but showgirls aren't for you, believe me.
Ma, let's not go over all that. I'm old enough.
I know you are. I know that. But you know so many girls in the neighborhood. Now, do I object when you see them? That sweet Belden girl, for instance?
I'm going to be late, Ma. Good night.
I'm only telling you for your own good, Ben.
I know, Ma. Give a fella a kiss, huh? Now, don't you worry about me. This is one boy who knows how to take care of himself.
Ben.
Good night, Ma. Don't wait up for me.
Customer, Ma. Can I? Got to hand it to you, Grace. You did a fine job with him.
What?
The boy, Benny Jr. You did a fine job.
Get out of the store.
Oh, now, Gracie, that's no way to talk. After all these years, I thought you'd be glad to see me.
Get out. I mean it, Benny.
Okay, you mean it. I just came by to see how you were doing on our first delivery. Object to that, and maybe I object to custody.
To what?
Custody. Father's got rights, ain't he? Visitation?
Benny, you stay away from my son. You hear that? You stay away or...
Or what? You'll maybe kill me?
Maybe. You stay away, Benny, or maybe I will kill you. Maybe I will.
Hello, this is Marvin Miller with another page from your American Heritage scrapbook. The majestic Hudson River, which has cut such a wide path through American fact and fiction, was apparently first discovered by Giovanni da Verrazzano, a Florentine navigator, on April 17, 1524. But the man for whom it was named, Henry Hudson, made the first conclusive exploration of the river during the months of September and October of 1609. Henry Hudson, hoping to find a waterway through North America to the East Indies, sailed his ship, the Half Moon, up the Hudson as far as present-day Troy, New York. In the 1620s, Dutch patroons had established a permanent colony, New Netherlands, along the banks of the Hudson, and New Amsterdam was spreading out from the southern tip of Manhattan Island. It was in 1664 that an English invasion force entered the deep-channeled mouth of the Hudson River and took over control of New Amsterdam from the Dutch. They renamed the city New York. Ships flying the Union Jack cruised the Hudson for more than a century, bringing furs and food supplies to cosmopolitan New York. Control of the Hudson became imperative during the colonial revolution for independence. the British attacked and captured Fort Washington and Fort Lee late in 1776. But their attempt to cut the jugular vein that united New England and the Middle Colonies was unsuccessful. Colonial independence won, peace reigned again over the river Henry Hudson once described as the Great River of the Mountains. Yes, running 306 miles from the summit of Mount Marcy in the Adirondacks to the wide-spreading harbor of New York City, the Hudson River became the lifeline of a new nation, just beginning to explore and develop its natural riches.
Hello?
Hello, Carlos. This is me. I just left the store.
Any trouble?
Talk, but no trouble. She's playing ball. Don't worry. What about the boy?
Hey, was I right? A dead image, huh?
Never mind a dead image. Did you follow him?
Oh, sure I followed him. He's having drinks at the bar of the 15th Club with Candy.
Already?
Well, you said action. And that Candy is a fast worker. Any orders meantime?
No orders, Carlos. Same routine every week. Keep the smokes coming, keep them going, that's all.
And they're still getting the cigars distributed, Steve, as you can see from that report. The revenue agents found another retailer last week with an inventory of over 100 boxes without any staff.
Uh-huh. What about that tape recording you wanted me to hear, Bruce?
It's the last talk we had with Miguel Trelia. I had an idea you'd be specially interested.
Why specially?
Well, Steve, you know that memo pad Trelia had on him at the time you boys picked him up?
Yeah.
You remember the entries were mostly initials. Obviously a record of Trelia's deliveries and receipts.
Sure, I remember.
Then maybe you remember that the entry of so-and-so many boxes from B.U. was the most frequent.
Uh-huh.
All right, so we tried an old stunt on failure. A stunt, I'll admit, I borrowed from you, Steve. It worked in that army desertion case, so why not again?
Why not?
Anyway, we dug up all the names connected with failure's past record. One of them might have the initials B.U.
And one of them did.
Yes. Benny Udell. B.U.
Benny Udell.
I said you'd be specially interested.
I am, and on four separate counts. You mean he's the one behind all this?
Just listen to the tape, Steve. While we were questioning Trelia, one of my men rushed in and stage whispered that Benny Udell had just been picked up by the FBI and sang his head off. You listen and decide for yourself.
Candy?
Yeah, Carlos.
I just come from seeing Benny.
And?
He says give Candy the green light on the boy. Get to work on it.
Waiter, two more of these cocktails, please, and some hors d'oeuvres for the lady. Sorry, Candy, you were saying?
No, nothing. I was just saying you better not come by for me tonight at the club.
Huh? Why, I thought we had a date.
We did, but I changed my mind.
But why? I thought you liked me.
I more than like you, that's just it.
What?
Ben, why don't you just let well enough alone? We met, we had fun together. It's better we part friends.
Well, Candy, what's the matter? What have I done?
Nothing. But you haven't done, Ben.
Huh?
Look, honey, you're a nice kid, but you're only a kid. You can't afford to keep taking me off.
Sure I can.
On that measly handout your mother gives you from the store.
Well, it isn't any fortune,
Ben,
but...
honey, I don't think you follow me. Oh, sure, you can take me out for a drink or maybe a meal, but... that's just hello, how are you? How do you think this fur got on my shoulders, grew there?
Oh.
A girl gotta live, honey. There's rent to pay, and stockings to buy, and a bank book to fill for a rainy day. Sorry to throw the raw meat on the floor.
Oh, that's okay, I... didn't think.
Of course you didn't, but a girl has to. If you were on your own, I might feel different.
On my own?
Would you like to be, Ben? Make yourself a bankroll every week instead of pennies.
Well, who wouldn't? Only...
I've got friends, honey. They'd let you in on a good thing if I gave the word.
Yeah, but what could I do for them?
You'd be surprised. You might do something for them right inside that door of yours.
Huh?
Honey. I wasn't going to mention this, but when I see the way your old lady's been holding out on you...
What are you talking about?
You didn't know she's been holding out? You didn't know what she's been doing to rake in extra cash?
What cash? Candy, what do you mean mine's been holding out?
I mean just what I say. You better drink your drink, Ben. I'm afraid you're in for an awful shock.
Yes?
You're all upset. Oh, it's my fault for prying into your private life. Here, take this money and go out and have a good time.
I said I didn't want any money. Maybe you didn't understand me.
Well, of course I understand you. You came across a few boxes that weren't sealed. All right, I'll call Mr. Wollin and tell him.
That's all you've got to say?
What else should I say?
I've already called Mr. Wollin. He told me you weren't buying cigars to him anymore.
Please, Ben, what are you so worked up about?
About you, that's what. About what you've been doing behind my back, about all those lies you've been telling me.
What?
You heard me, nothing but lies.
Please, Ben, tell me what you're trying to get at.
All right. All right, I'll tell you. Only when I'm through, you'd better be ready to start telling me.
Hello? Oh, yes, he is. Just a minute, I'll ask him. Benny.
Who is
it? It's Candy. She's got the kid with her. Wants to know if it's okay to bring him over.
Yeah, let me speak to her. Candy, it's me. What's the story? Oh, he did, huh? He does? What do you know, chip of the old block? What's that? Why, sure, bring him over. He's my own flesh and blood, ain't he? You bring him right over.
Hello, this is Marvin Miller with another page from your American Heritage scrapbook. Theodore Roosevelt, rough rider, all-around sportsman, and president of the United States, waged a lifetime battle against complacency. He overcame a frail and asthmatic childhood by advocating the strenuous life. Courage, endurance, and stamina were component parts of his personal creed. It was in 1898 that T.R. resigned as Secretary of the Navy to lead Colonel Leonard Wood's Rough Riders on the charge up San Juan Hill. War-born popularity won him the governorship of New York in that same year and made him President McKinley's running mate in the election of 1900. A year later, McKinley was assassinated, and Roosevelt became president. His motto for 7 years was, "Speak softly and carry a big stick." During his second term as chief executive, he launched construction of the Panama Canal, and he also became the first president to set foot on foreign soil. In 1910, he became the first president to ride in an airplane, although by then he had been out of office for 2 years. Running for president on the Progressive Party ticket in 1912, T.R. displayed his familiar campaign vigor. At Milwaukee, a would-be assassin's bullet failed to silence his big voice and heart. With the bullet lodged in his chest, he delivered his scheduled speech. Yes, Theodore Roosevelt believed in the strenuous life, in running the risk of wearing out rather than rusting out. This he advocated for the individual, the community, and the nation.
Go on, kid, keep talking. I'm loving every minute of it.
Oh, well, that's about it. Once you get through telling me, I walked out. And here I am. She was against the idea, but I told her she'd done enough harm, and I was doing things my own way now.
Yeah, you hear that, Carlos? Mm-hmm. Candy? Boy's got spunk like his old man. I was right about him, wasn't I?
Yeah, looks like.
But you won't be sorry, kid. You and me are going to hit it off great. Now on, wherever I go, you go with me. You'll see what living is really like. No more psalm singing from here in.
How's that sound, Ben?
Sounds all right, Candy.
Yeah, just like his old man. I told you, Carlos.
Ollie, I'm afraid it won't work.
Why not?
Ma won't let me go with you.
How's she going to stop you?
I thought you said you were doing things your own way now.
I am.
So, how's she going to stop you?
By going to the FBI.
The what?
That'd be a big help. They've been trying to find me for months.
Well, she was going to fix that. If I followed me and Candy, she'd find where you were, then call the FBI.
Following us?
Yeah, that was the idea. The FBI's probably outside by now. That's why I can't go.
Benny,
Shut up, Carlos. Kid, I got no enjoyment for beat around the bush. You better start talking straight.
Okay, here it is straight. Ma told me about you. All about you. And why she kept it from me all those years. When she got through telling, I told her what I thought of her. How wonderful I thought she was.
Huh?
And how I was going to see through that a filthy scum like you never bother her again.
Boy, shut up. What else?
I said I didn't know where you were, but I knew someone would lead me to you. I told her to follow and then call the cops. She was against the idea, like I said, but I told her I was doing things my own way from now on. I walked out and here I am. Is that straight enough for you?
That's straight enough.
Benny, I
said shut up.
We gotta get out of town, Benny. Get out
there. You too, Candy. Close your yap. I was wrong about you, kid. For a while there, I thought I saw a lot of me in you. I was dead wrong. You haven't got nothing of me. Nothing at all. Sandy, answer it.
Hello?
Listen carefully. This is a federal officer speaking. I'm directing everyone in that room to surrender. Open the door and walk out with your hands up. You have exactly 60 seconds to come out. After that, we're coming in.
Well?
That was the cop. They're waiting outside the door for us.
Okay. We fixed that.
Fanny, don't be a fool. What chance do
Fanny,
we got?
Put the gun down.
Yeah? They're outside the door, so we get out to the roof. They won't shoot at the kid, will they?
Now, wait a minute.
Come on, you. One phony move, this goes off, right? You're back. Up in the window, kid.
Not me. I'm staying here.
Carlos.
I'm not going with you.
They won't shoot at the
kid. I'm not going with you.
Okay, the kid and me will go without you. Come on. Look, never mind. Look, do like I tell you. Go on, get out.
They got the place surrounded. You haven't a chance.
Up the escape. Go on.
Ready, you now? Yeah. Come on down from there, you now. Come down or my men have orders to shoot.
Okay, so let him shoot. You'll only hit the boy. Go on, kid, up the stairs.
Now.
Go up, you hear me? Go up or I'll shoot. Go up, you hear me?
Mike, Bruce.
Okay, kid, you asked for it. You asked for it? Get those lights off me. Get them off me and you get it too.
There he goes, Dave.
Get them off me and you get it too. Get those lights off me, I'm warning you.
With the recovery of young Ben Udell from the gunshot wound inflicted by his father, the United States attorney presented the whole story of tax evasion and coercion to a federal grand jury. Benny Udell, Ramon Carlos, Miguel Trella, and a score of others were indicted on various counts, brought to trial, and convicted. Mrs. Udell, though guilty of concealing a crime, was given a suspended sentence in view of both the circumstances and her son's action in helping to dissolve the smoke ring.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. Hope you enjoyed the selections today. Be back next Tuesday with another hour on this show, but there's more old-time radio coming tomorrow at RelicRadio.com. We'll hear from Case Closed and The Horror, both of which you can find alongside past episodes of this show at RelicRadio.com. There's also links there to our forum, Shoutcast Stream, our brand new Facebook page, you can also find at facebook.com/relicradioshows. Lost access to the last one, so we got to move to the new one. If you're interested, check that out. But you can find everything else on the website. There's also a donate button there if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. It's how we keep going. Thank you very much to those who have, and thank you very much for joining me today. Talk to you again next week on another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.